Hello, folks. Thank you for coming for this late session today. Welcome. We're talking about e-commerce today and how the solution is built on Microsoft Dynamics and SharePoint 2013. E-commerce itself is one of the fastest growing online segments in the last 10 years. It is one of those that has had double-digit growth, and the projection is that it will continue to have double-digit growth in the coming years. My name is Meera Mahabala. I am a senior program manager in the Microsoft Dynamics product group, and I worked in the space of e-commerce for many years now. Dynamics for retail, I just want a quick show of hands on how many of you are familiar with Dynamics for retail? Okay, good. So quickly for the folks that aren't, basically Dynamics for Retail is a ERP solution for the retail segment that handles everything from financials, inventory management, order fulfillment, to the channels and the various software that you run on channels. So for example, if you have a brick and mortar store, the point of sale that they would use there can run the Dynamics software. Similarly, e-commerce is another channel for Dynamics for Retail, and we also have the e-commerce solution that runs on SharePoint 2013 that's available. One of our latest customers for Dynamics for Retail is Delta Airlines. So the flight attendants who carry the Nokia phone, right, they run a point of sale when you buy your dinner on the flight, and they execute a transaction right on that application that runs Microsoft Dynamics. So that's really a really quick overview there. And again, SharePoint 2013 is what we use. We use the capabilities of search-driven publishing. We use capabilities of cross-site publishing to bring this all together. And throughout the next 60 minutes, you will see various components that you're familiar with in SharePoint 2013 and how we leverage it to create this e-commerce solution itself. So with that brief introduction, let me quickly dive into the agenda for today. I roughly have four segments. We will do an overview of Dynamics for e-commerce, giving you an architecture and how things play out. I'll do a demo of the features. So what we do is we actually ship an online store, which is like a startup storefront, with code, right? And you will see the features that's available in that online store. So it'll give you an idea of what all is available when you use the online store itself. The next segment would be more on extensibility. We'll talk about what the extensibility architecture looks like, what are the various components we use from SharePoint 2013 and Dynamics platform itself. And we will look at the demo itself on how we can extend a couple of things and also see how the various pieces look as we look at the startup storefront itself. So quickly, a really colorful slide here, but two messages I want you to take away. The first part being about the consumer. The consumer today is really is looking for the way they shop today is very different from the way they did it in the past. So for example, it's not unheard of to find a consumer. In fact, it probably is very frequent for a consumer to start their shopping experience socially, right? A friend recommended a product. From there, they go to the online store. They research the product. Once they are done with researching, they might either decide to add it to their wish list because this is something that they want to buy later, right? Or buy online and even do a pickup in store. So all of these is completely possible, and what it's really passing through is multiple channels, right? You started social, you went to the online channel, and from the online channel, you could be in a brick and mortar store actually going and picking up the item that you ordered itself. And in doing so, what the consumer is expecting is that the whole operation is, of course, seamless, right? And they are really interacting with the brand, with the retailer, not so much being aware of which channel they're interacting with. They want their identity to be maintained across these various channels. They want to be able to search and find what they need very easily, right? And at the same time, they're looking for a differentiated experience. I shop in certain stores because they do a buy online and I can return for free, right? So that's something that is differentiates, and I that's why I shop there. So there are many such experiences that the consumer is looking for. And that's sort of this top segment that you have right here on the slide itself. The lower segment is about what the retailer is looking for. The retailer wants to make the site really discoverable. When they go search for something on Bing or Google or anywhere, they should be able to find the site easily, right? So this is like one of the first goals that they have. They want to make a site engaging. They want to make really rich experiences, and they want to keep the customer right there. The next aspect is manageable, right? They want to be able to launch this holiday sale that they have for a week. They want to be able to do a one-day sale, right? Macy's does this all the time, a one-day sale at some point, and it's available online. They should be able to manage it and configure it from a system, and it becomes available in the online store automatically. So a very data-driven system is sort of what they're looking to use. They should be able to maintain it quite easily too. And the last one being, they want this to be agile, right? They want to continuously change the site as different seasons come through, as different promotions come through. All of this should be changeable fairly easily. And they want to do analytics, right? They want to analyze how the customer is interacting with their store, change some of it automatically, at the same time change some of those in an editorial fashion, right? They want to be able to really consider what kind of products they want to surface, and they want to have control over what they want to surface. So that's sort of what the two sides of the consumer and the retailer that we look at when we look at e-commerce itself. So moving on to the dynamics for e-commerce, right? These are the four key pillars that were used while building the system itself. The first one being centralized data and order management across all channels. So we consider e-commerce as one channel, but we also have other channels like brick and mortar. But of course, all of this is optional, and you can just have an e-commerce site. That's a completely acceptable scenario. So they should be able to configure this online store, right, in a way where they say what are the taxes that they want to apply there, what is the shipping that they want to apply there, pricing. So some of that is done using the channel management. They can configure the set of products that they would like to sell on this online store. The products are mastered in a centralized location. They decide what kind of products go to which channel, and this should be manageable on a regular basis, right? I mean, it could be a once a week or as needed basis. And they continuously update new catalogs onto the online store itself. Merchandising, another very important part, which is pricing, right? A lot of flexibility in pricing. They can do things like buy one, get one free. They can do mix and match. They can do line discounts. They can do multi-line discounts. So Dynamics is a very mature platform in the way we have handled all of these various things. So we can really, in terms of transactions, is where the strength lies, right? And we can certainly handle a wide variety of such transactions. And finally, order fulfillment itself. I will state this for order fulfillment. It can be done in Dynamics AX. We have complete capability of doing it, managing inventory and the like. But if there is another ERP system at the back, it can certainly be routed to another ERP system, and order fulfillment can happen from within that ERP system. So that is something that we can also handle. The cross-channel and cross-device workflow. This is about scenarios where you're able to do buy online, pick up in store, buy online, return in store. We have the concept of loyalty that is entrenched into the system, so a customer can easily avail of a loyalty card that is configured by the retailer, right? And they can get this online and redeem the points when they go in store, and similarly vice versa. And the next aspect is, of course, gift cards. Very similar, we will see in the demo later today, how you can buy a gift card online, right? And I will redeem a gift card that I have used, that I have bought elsewhere. So both of these are possible. The gift cards amounts and transaction history, all of that is maintained. The deduction of amounts from the gift card is also taken care of by the Dynamics system itself. The third pillar is a very key pillar in terms of making the channel autonomous in nature. So basically what we have is we have a set of runtime services. You have the configuration that can happen in AX, right, or in Dynamics AX, but you want a set of services that implement this configuration. And this happens through pricing, sales tax, shipping services, and the like that run actually as a set of DLLs. This is C-sharp DLLs. And without any configuration, they have very rich capability. At the same time, of course, it's extensible, right? And you can change it to the needs of the specific business as you so choose. So these set of DLLs run in process on SharePoint. They basically execute the various configurations for all the services that you have listed. One of the things we can also do is we can get the actual inventory available either in the warehouse or in store. So that's something that we can also do. And this is, again, available as part of the runtime DLLs that we have. The last pillar is built completely on SharePoint 2013 and is essentially the out-of-the-box storefront. So this is about a set of reusable controls that are available. There are ASP.NET controls, there are content search web parts that we deliver, and both of these are reusable for the customized storefront that you would like to build. Data exchange, a component of the e-commerce system to exchange data between Dynamics AX and SharePoint 2013. We also provide an integrated payment SDK. So we have out-of-the-box support for all payment for a number of payment providers within US and Canada. And in addition, it's an extensible SDK to be used outside in Europe and other countries. So, So this is just a 10,000 foot view of the system itself. So the way to think about the overall workflow essentially is the retailer configures the data in Dynamics AX, right? And that's where the channel management, merchandising, pricing, all of that happens. Once the catalog and data is configured in AX, it's published to SharePoint 2013, right? And here, the product catalog site collection is what we use. So when you publish data from AX to SharePoint 2013, it's available as part of the product catalog site collection. The runtime services run in process in the SharePoint 2013 box here. So we have two parts to the SharePoint 2013. There's the product catalog site collection and publishing portal that some of you are probably familiar with the search-driven architecture itself. And the publishing portal is what the consumer here views, right? So they interact with the publishing portal, and they can browse the online store, which we will see in a bit. They can place an order on the products that they bought. The order is then confirmed, and a confirmation is returned back to them right then. The order is then brought down into Dynamics AX. So Dynamics AX takes care of the fulfillment. As it goes through the different status of pick, pack, and ship, this status can be viewed by the consumer real time. So we have capabilities of real time accessing this back-end data and actually seeing what the status of this data itself is. So this is the architecture diagram for the entire e-commerce system. What you see on the left-hand side here is Dynamics AX for retail, right? And the orange and the purple box here is the data exchange mechanism. We have a sync mechanism, and we also have a real-time mechanism. So for example, the sync mechanism is used for pricing configuration, for example. And the real-time mechanism can be used to check what's the loyalty card balance left on the system, or to check the order history of this particular customer itself in the back end. So we have both options. The next component here is the commerce runtime services. This is about pricing, shipping, all the various services that are required. This is pulled out as a separate box in this diagram, but think of it as a set of DLLs that really run in process with the SharePoint 2013 server. So I'll quickly go through the components on the SharePoint 2013 server here on the right-hand side. We have a connector that we ship that basically publishes all data that was configured in AX into product catalog site collection. This is then crawled, right, and loaded into the search index here. We have a publishing site collection that talks to the search index, but also talks through the runtime services through a set of Ajax services. So we have both like product gallery, product detail pages are brought in from the search index, allowing for a very rich experience in refinements, allowing a very nice managed navigation on the top. We'll look at all of that in the demo. And then at the same time, you can bring back something like what's the shipping price of a specific order itself. And that's done through this Ajax services, that interaction that you will do with the Ajax, with the commerce Ajax services. So when you buy Dynamics for e-commerce, essentially the components you will get will be the AX for retail, the CDX sync services, and the commerce runtimes, and the connector and commerce Ajax services. So all of this is part of the e-commerce package, and then there's the SharePoint 2013 server itself. So what is it that you configure on the retail side? We talked a little bit about this. Let's take a quick look here. You will configure the online store and the language that you want to use for that specific online store. It's very possible that the AX system has multiple languages that are being stored. You can just use the translation for this specific online store to be available here. Catalog, right? This is a collection of products that you can make available to the online store itself. The navigation hierarchy, very pivotal in any e-commerce system. You have a navigation hierarchy on the left-hand side or on the top. This is also something that you can configure within AX and bring it down into the online store in SharePoint. Channel and product attributes, we allow for a very rich schema that you can define. So you can basically define a product schema that's very specific to the vertical you're working in, right? So that's something that we allow. Modes of delivery, also known as shipping options. So you can configure whether you want to use FedEx, UPS, what are the set of shipping options that you will use. Prices and promotions, extremely rich prices and promotions that you can configure, including, like we talked about, the mix and match, line discounts, and the like. You can configure a default customer for anonymous transactions, and you can also configure a template for all other customers that you are going to create in the system. Sales tax, again, two options here. One, to completely configure it in Dynamics. We have a way to specify the customer tax group, item sales tax group, and we will compute it directly for you, or you can integrate with a third-party provider, and both of these are supported by Dynamics AX for retail. Gift card and loyalty, gift card is, of course, fairly straightforward and not much to be configured there. But loyalty schemes and the way you would like to use the loyalty schemes are extremely flexible. You can even specify the kind of discounts, for example, that you would like to offer to your gold tier members versus other tier members. So almost a very rich capabilities in terms of what you can do with loyalty itself. Currency, again, of importance based on financial transactions that you would do, what kind of currencies you bring back. And payment account and methods, right? So what kind of payment methods will be supported, including Visa, Amex, what kind of connectors you would like to connect, all of that. So this is basically the configuration that you'd have to do within Dynamics AX itself. So with this, let me move into the demo. I'm going to demo the starter online store that we have and some of the features that go within there. They told me it's 4. Oh, it's changed, I believe. It's 8. Okay, let me try this. 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, good. Okay, so what you see here is the starter online store. What this is basically is a publishing portal in SharePoint 2013. What we have branded this is the Contoso Electronic Superstore. You see a navigation hierarchy right up here. This is actually stored in the term store in SharePoint 2013. right? We also have multiple content search web parts that are showing up here. So for example, the customer favorites web part is based on the popular ranking products itself. And this is basically a rank that is provided out of the box in SharePoint 2013. And we're using this to rank the set of products. Staff recommendations could be an attribute that is editorially controlled, right? And that's how we have done it here. And we bring back and we're able to filter on staff recommendations in this particular web part. We have the ability to shop by brand. We have the ability to show what are items on sale, for example. All of these, again, are just a content search web part with changing the query at the back. And we will see one such web part later in the extensibility demo itself. So I'm going to go into cameras here. And let's go into digital cameras. What you see here is the product gallery for digital cameras. I want to call out a couple of things at the beginning. One is the price. So the price here is, again, being fetched from the runtime services. So as and when you change the configuration and add a new discount, they will show up. Both the prices, the base price and the sale price, is being shown using that. Something that we also have ability to do is do customer-specific pricing. So you can, once you sign in, and I think I can show you that in this particular demo, is the price will change for the specific customer. Maybe they're a loyalty customer that has a specific price, and that is something that we can also do. Another thing to call out here is the item availability and stock on hand. Again, this is real data that's coming from the back end, right? And we'll be able to bring it through the runtime services and something that you can show here. On the left-hand side, a set of refinements that you can see. And this can also be category specific. This is using faceted navigation from the SharePoint 2013. I'm going to go ahead first and click on this particular camera here. What you will see is we can change colors. And let's go ahead and choose the green one. And what it says is the item is not available in stock. So at a variant level, we can bring back the exact availability in stock. There's a rich description that can be provided using HTML and any such that you like. We also bring back specification, which we can aggregate a set of attributes and bring it back. Something else that I would like to call out here is how we use the image rendition features. You can use any number of images per product, and we will resize it to the thumbnail and the main product size, and that is something that we can also bring back. And the lower panel here, what you have is the related products. Related products is something that can be editorially controlled. We also, of course, have the option using SharePoint 2013 to say people who clicked on this also viewed this, right? So that's a web part that can easily be added using SharePoint 2013 capabilities. But beyond that, there are a couple others that I'd like to call out, which is web parts that we added as part of Dynamics. And this is based on transaction history. This is something that you often see in Amazon. The fact that we have the transactions from all these various orders, and if you have multiple channels, in fact, we have orders from the various different channels, right? So with this, we can aggregate data about customer also bought this across customers, across channels. And that's something that we can put together and say, customers also bought this, frequently bought together, right? So all of this is features that we allow to add. So also what I would like to draw your attention to is all the social buttons right here. Everything is usable, right? You can say this is, you put like this specific product, you can pin it, you can tweet it, right? So this is sort of associating the online side to the social channel itself and then bringing back clicks from there. We also have capabilities to actually publish coupons, for example, to the social channel, and they can click on the coupon, and then they can come to the online store and then complete a shopping experience. So both of this is available. So I'm going to go ahead and select Add to Cart here. What you see here itself is basically, again, call to the runtime services and a mini shopping cart that shows up here. All of these are controls that are reusable in any online store that you so choose to. Let's go into computers here and laptops. Let's go into the refiners here. I'm going to go ahead and select on blue computers, and what you see is faceted navigation and action. Really quick, right? I mean, really fast. All of this is in the search index. You're just doing a call into the search index and bringing back data. So really nicely done in terms of faceted navigation support available in SharePoint 2013. quad-core. Again, I just did a quick selection on quad-core, and I can narrow my results. And as I narrow the results on the right-hand side, it varies the set of faceted navigation attributes it shows on the left-hand side. All of this automatic, absolutely no code change, very easily configurable using SharePoint 2013 there. So with that, let's just go ahead and select the Southridge video laptop here. Very similar, again, allows you to specify product description. I don't know if I have an interesting specification, maybe not. So, but you can have pretty rich specifications for each of these. So I'll go ahead and say add to cart. And basically what we have done is we've added two products to cart here. So I'm going to go ahead and go into cameras and digital cameras here. Another interesting product that we have added, a feature that we have added in this particular release, this is V2 of the e-commerce system. The V1 was released last year, and I just want to highlight one of the features, and I'm running the latest bits that haven't yet shipped. So this will be basically shipping in another month or so. So a kit is a concept that you can configure. So now you have this camera kit, right, that has a camera, a lens, and apparently a cable. And all of these are available as individual products to be selected. So for example, I can select change product on the lens, right, and they have configured three other lenses that I can pick from, right? All of this is configured and available automatically on the online store once you have the configurations done in Dynamics itself. So now I can go ahead and change, select, and similarly, we can go ahead and choose a color, for example. I can say I want the silver camera. So, and with this, you can go back up and see if it's available, and if it's available, go ahead and add it to cart. And as you add it to cart, so some other things that is visible here is, for example, whether it was included or not, right? So the price, you can actually specify if this component is more expensive than some other component. All very configurable, again, brought back into the online store and available for use. So let me go ahead now and select checkout. So once I select checkout, I have basically the sign-in screen here. I have multiple options. I can sign in using an existing account. In this case, I'm using forms authentication, one of the ways that is supported here. We could also use sign-in with Facebook, for example. That's another option that's available. And of course, we could have go checkout as guest, which is an anonymous account, and we can certainly sign in using that option also. So once you're signed in here, you see a screen here to select the delivery mode itself. We have the ability to ship, we have the ability to pick up items in store, and we have a select delivery options by item. I'm going to go ahead and say select delivery option by item. So now I'm going to be able to change what I do with each one of these. So let's go ahead and select the digital camera itself and say I want to ship this particular item. I'm going to go ahead and, since I'm a logged in user, I have a saved address. I can go ahead and put it, and apparently I'm John Smith, and I have an address that I can reuse. So now I click on available shipping options. Again, real data, real coming from what was configured, right? And the set of options that you're seeing here is what is applicable to this particular camera that's being selected here. So if we set for camera, the standard option is not available, it wouldn't show up as an option here. So I'll go ahead and select next day air, and say done. We'll go ahead and say change your delivery preference. Another very compelling aspect of us, our system is cross-channel, like I said. So I'm going to go ahead and say pick up items in store. Ignore that message there. I just, for some reason, lost our account for today, but I think this should still work. So let's go ahead and say we are near Boston, right? So, and I'm going to select, go and see if this item is available in any of the stores near Boston. So I get to see two stores that were pre-configured with the Dynamics system, one in Cambridge, one in Boston, right? And with that, also, you can see that not only does the store return, I see the exact availability of the item and how many of that is available in that particular store. So we can go ahead and select Boston here. I'm going to say done. I'll go ahead and say next step. You see a payment option screen here. Some of it is standard and some of it is not. So, of course, you can use a credit card, which I will do. So I'm going to go ahead and enter, and I think I have my secret credit card number here. So we'll go ahead and paste that here. And put in our CCID here, and then of course I can specify the address, which I will. So that's the credit card information itself that can be supported there. In addition to that, what you can do is you can do a gift card. I have a gift card in hand, so this is a split tender that you can support, right? So I have a gift card in hand, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and I go ahead and click on get gift card balance. So what it's doing now is it's going back into the backend system, a real-time service call, to bring back the exact balance for this particular gift card itself. And now, of course, I can choose to apply full amount, or I can just say I want to do $10 on it, right? And then we can go ahead and say next step. So when we do this, it's the final confirmation page. It shows you exact delivery method for each of these. The delivery methods are going to be taken back in the order that it goes back to loyalty card information. So I already have a loyalty card on file. It has applied the loyalty card. It's used mixed payment methods. I'm going to go ahead and select submit order. One thing I didn't end up showing you was it's 50%. I got a 50% discount once I logged in. So if you'd seen the shopping cart before, it would have been 173, and then it gives me a 50% discount. But it did do that in this particular order itself. So that's it. So now my order has gone through. It will be brought down to Dynamics, and fulfillment can happen there. Or you can channel it, just use it as a data backend and channel it to the ERP that you would like to use. So both options are certainly available. I'll go ahead and select account here. And what it's doing now is it's going to bring back my order history. So what you see is I have multiple orders I've placed, and one of the orders that I had placed earlier was even invoiced. So you can get the exact status of that specific order itself. Let's go into loyalty information right here. I'll go ahead and click on loyalty card. So this is the card. You can join the loyalty right from online. Again, a layout page that's available for reuse. You can do programs, right, as and when you would like. There's tier progress. And after the specific order is invoiced, the transaction will be brought in, right? So the current transactions will only after the invoice will the loyalty points be accrued. And that's something that we will take care of, and we will bring the exact loyalty points on hand. So that's basically the loyalty, and we have extremely complex schemes that we can support, right? And this is actually used by different industry verticals, and we have catered it for all different types of verticals too. So now I'll just go into wish lists right here. And what you can do is also have multiple wish lists. So for example, what I have here is a birthday wish list that I've previously configured. You can go ahead and take a look at the wish list. Again, we allow cross-channel availability of this wish list, and of course, you can go ahead, add this to cart, and you can reuse it as you would like. With that, I will move on to the next another online store that we are also allowing, which is like a starter storefront, just to showcase that a very rich UI is really possible across all of this. So for example, the other one used a very standard navigation hierarchy. But what you can do is you can have a very rich navigation hierarchy with having category promotions available and available for display itself right here on the top. What you're seeing at the bottom here is a content search web part that uses the popularity index itself, and again, you can, as and when items are browsed, the new items will surface here. I'm going to go ahead and click on refresh there. Okay, so let's go ahead and say fashion accessories. Again, a category landing page, something that a lot of apparel industry folks look at, right? And once you get to a category landing page, again, very data-driven, nothing hard-coded about this, right? So you say fashion accessories has the 6 categories. You say an image exists associated with each one of these. You say where you want to locate them, and it can be completely data-driven, and you can change this page based on how you would like this to happen. Let's go into menswear here. And I'm going to go ahead and, again, we have a set of category landing pages that you can go into. Let me go ahead and select on suits. What you have here is the product gallery itself. Again, item available is not available in stock. It's something that we can surface through real data. We can support kits. Let's go into trim fit suit. What you will see is the refinements that show up on the left-hand side here is very different. Again, just very data-driven, shows up on the site easily and easily configurable in some sense. I'm going to go ahead and select Trim Fit Suit here. And you see a product detail page that looks quite different. And what you have is you have a size picker, right? Again, dimensions are very different for these type of products, and it's something that we can easily bring back. Again, you have the option of including multiple dimensions like color, style, size, and multiple other such dimensions are certainly possible. Overall, primarily a very different look and feel that's going on here. I'm going to go ahead and select gift cards here. And what you see is a gift card that was configured, and you can bring down and you can specify any amount you would like. Let's go ahead and say $50 there. And I'll go ahead and add this to bag. So once you see the mini shopping cart checkout here, I'll just go ahead and select checkout. This time, let's just make this an anonymous checkout as guest. And you can select the delivery modes that you would like to use for this particular product. At this point, what you're seeing is I can ship the items, and what's very meaningful for gift cards is email, right? So you can see the option of email also. Actually, this is UI is a lot better in the most current builds, but anyway, let's use this and say friend at demo.com, and we can say an optional note of happy birthday. And go ahead and select next step. And the subsequent pages are very similar, so I'm not going to really go through it, but again, you can see you can pay for the gift card using credit card and loyalty card, and given that the fact that this was a gift card, you don't get to pay through a gift card. So it's filtered this out. Similarly, the order total is shown here. The current payment total is $0. So all of this available layout pages that can be reused, hooked up to the commerce runtime services itself. And once you complete this transaction, it's brought back, a gift card can be issued, and the gift card number will be emailed out. So we even have the email notification system hooked up to this entire setup that you see here. So that's basically Fabricam itself in a nutshell. So we have the two online stores, Starter Storefront with code that showcase all these features that will be available for reuse. And the next segment of this that we'll talk about is essentially on extensibility, right? And how we leverage the features you just saw and what some of that architecture is. And I will stay focused on the SharePoint side of things. The runtime services is very customizable. We have, in fact, examples of that, and I did give a talk in the last SharePoint conference about exactly this aspect. Definitely we showed how you can add a shipping provider, for example. Very well-defined interfaces, which will tell you, address validation, pricing, and tracking number, and you can hook up a new shipping provider as you like. And of course, there's still the option of just configuring it in Dynamics and bringing it down. But the other option is to actually attach to another provider like FedEx or UPS and so on. So that's certainly a possibility. So the focus on this part of the extensibility will be more on just SharePoint 2013. So with that, let me go ahead. This here that you see is actually the data model behind all of this. The middle column and the right-hand side column that you see here should be very familiar to you folks as you look at SharePoint 2013 as a platform. Let me go ahead and get started here. The left-hand side is what is done in e-commerce. And all of this is, again, populated automatically by the system. This is just under the covers and is just for your knowledge. Just something so that you can associate with the various data elements that we are using. Product attributes are brought into site columns in a list. Product catalogs, we on the fly define the content types, right? So you will define the product catalog in Dynamics, and we'll on the fly define the content type in SharePoint itself. Navigation hierarchy, you define it once, and we'll populate the term store automatically, and you will see that as I show the demo, that it just gets populated automatically. Products and variants become list items, SharePoint list items. And finally, you're able to specify from SharePoint search-driven publishing model, you're able to specify whether a specific attribute is queryable, sortable, refinable, and so on. So for example, the left-hand side attributes you saw in the online store were specified as refinable, which is why they showed up on that side of the screen. So the left-hand side pillar there is about business content. You might have a lot more business content than just this, right? But what you will bring down to SharePoint 2013 is the displayable content, and that's the middle pillar right there. And this is, of course, done automatically for you. Once the displayable content is brought in, the next section is about essentially about the presentation layer itself. And again, elements that you should be familiar with, site collections. We deal with both product catalog site collection and publishing site collection. The publishing site collection is where the actual online store UI lives and runs. The product catalog site collection is where the data is put into and crawled by the search index itself. Master pages, again, a very familiar concept to all of you, I'm sure, is how we frame the online store that you saw. So for example, the top bar that you saw on both the Contoso and Fabricam online stores were basically controlled using master pages. Page layouts is something that we will give as part of the starter storefront. We will look at that in a little bit. Similarly, content search, web parts, and display templates. So all of these are reused in the way the online store itself is created. So the last pillar is really about how data is presented. So with this, just a quick recap on the SharePoint 2013 page model itself. Master page defines the chrome of the site, right? The page layout is what goes in between. It can consist of multiple page field controls. And then the page itself uses the page layout and can actually have authored content and can have content search web parts associated with it. The content search web parts in the last diagram that you see there is essentially defines both the look and you define the query itself that's associated with it. So you define the templates, right? You say what the item template looks like, and you say what the control template is, what it's called now, and you say how paging and some of those other things work in the control template context. So this is the architecture of the online store as it looks on the SharePoint site. Let me focus on the blue box, big blue box right here. Commerce Runtime has a set of services, right, and has a database that goes with it. So this is something that comes as part of the e-commerce system itself. Search Index is part of the SharePoint 2013. It's something that gets populated by crawling the product catalog site collection. Two types of web parts that you will see on the online store itself. The first one being content search web parts, that these directly interact with the search index for the query aspect, and they have display templates that essentially tell you how these particular content search web parts will look. The other part is we have Ajax services, right, that essentially enable us to access the runtime service DLLs, and we have a set of ASP.NET controls that are reusable. I have a list in the next slide on what are the set of reusable controls. So shopping cart, the mini shopping cart, wish list, all of these are reusable controls that we ship out of the box, and you will be able to add it in to a customized storefront that you will build. The next layer is, again, is page layouts, master pages, and pages. So all of this you will see all of this available as part of the starter storefront, and again, all of this is reusable as you see fit in your specific customized solution. All of this, again, interacts with the customer over HTTP, and we bring back the client-side controls, JavaScript, and HTML to the customer itself. So some of the client-side interactions that you might have seen includes the one like the mini shopping cart, the way it was getting navigated and filled. So there's a bunch of client-side logic that we have added in to make the site more snappy, and you will see a lot of that available as part of the starter storefront itself. Reusable online store controls. Again, a list of controls that are available in terms of reuse, the shopping cart, mini shopping cart, There's order history, address, customer. There's wish list. The category landing page is one of those. The welcome bar, the store product availability. So some of these are just reusable controls. And I will show you how you can include them in any page layout that you have. We have a set of page layouts that we also ship. That's the list right there. We even have a shopping cart page layout, I believe, including details, gallery, order review, confirm, and the like. Issue gift card is one such. Loyalty is also one such page layout. A set of display templates, and of course, we'll add more with time. And the two starter storefronts sort of give a breadth of these display templates and enable them to be reused in some sense as you would like also. With that, let me go into the last slide here, which is about what should you expect for a typical customization, right? So the first step that I have enumerated there is about configuring data. Configuring data in Dynamics is about configuring products, categories, pricing, shipping, and taxes. We also saw a slide right at the beginning about how you would configure it. So that's a very important step in a typical customization. The next step that I have there is about building website UI. You will of course have to create new style sheets, and you would have to use your markup itself, and of course dynamic search driven pages, and leverage the out of the box dynamic controls. We have had instances where people have had previous websites where we have just reused the style sheets from the previous website and plugged it into the online store instance itself, and that's certainly a possibility that can be done. The next step is commerce runtime customization. This is an optional step, but typically what our users do is they customize at least two things, one being the shipping, right, and the other one being the payment gateway integration. So these are sort of the two big customizations that people may have to do. And finally, it's about deployment and topology and how you would like to configure the site as it goes onto the SharePoint farm itself. And we have many different variations in which this has been configured. We also have sites where we did multiple sites on a single SharePoint farm, completely supported. So they have a US site and a French site, for example, running on a single SharePoint farm. So this greatly reduces the total cost of ownership, and you're basically maintaining a single farm with different publishing site collections. The way publishing site collection and product catalog site collection gives you the separation helps, you know, model it in very different ways. For example, there are people who want to give different look and feel to different customers. So that's something that can be done also with having a single backend, so single product catalog site collection, but you can have multiple publishing site collections talking to the same single product catalog site collection. So quite a bit of flexibility in the way deployment can be handled, and this really depends on your specific need and your specific business that you have in this particular case. So with that, I have another demo. Looks like I've lost connection here. I'm just going to go ahead and see what's going on. Okay, let's see. Okay, looks like I have connection to this site, so let me go ahead and select the 8 button here. Okay, so what you're seeing here right now is the 40,003 site. Pardon the numbers here, but basically this is supposed to be the Windows authentication. So this is what a system user would come in and basically use to administer the site or make changes to the site. Of course, there's many ways of looking at this. Today, whatever we look at will be the live production site. They don't have to do this on the live production site, but that's how we will look at it today, right? So this is the home page that you have here. One of the things of interest here is we can go ahead and as soon as you log in as a Windows authenticated user, what you can do is you can go ahead and you get that gearbox right on the right-hand side. You can go ahead and select something like site settings, and you come back into the site settings that you're probably familiar with. Let's go into master page here. And basically what you see is we actually specify the master page. Something I couldn't show you was the mobile site. We have two master pages, one for the mobile and one for the default channel, and you're probably familiar with the device channel scheme of SharePoint 2013, and it's very robust in that it, based on the user agent string returning from the specific device, it recognizes which device is being used to serve this particular page, and based on that we can change the form factor and, you know, shrink it as required. So you can run the same business logic across your mobile site and your desktop site. All you need to do is change the images, for example. That's something we had to do because sometimes they don't render quite as well in the smaller form factor. You might want to change some styling. For example, we did everything in a more vertical way, and I will show you that if we have time, but basically we just kind of staggered it differently from the broad layout that we did on the desktop side. So that's the mobile and the default channel. As you will see, we have multiple master pages, so that if you change this to a Fabricam master page, you will actually see the Chrome of the site change. Let's go on, and just a couple more things to show you. Device channels, again, just the way I showed you, there is multiple device channels you can configure, and we have configured like the mobile, and we have configured a default device channel, and the user agent string for the mobile will be from all the mobile devices that you would like to support. So you can have very different behavior if you want for Androids versus iPhones versus Windows Phone or any other, right? I mean, that's something that you can absolutely do. So going back into this, there are many other things here that we have leveraged, including image renditions, query rules, results sources. All of the things that you know in SharePoint 2013 is being leveraged in this particular case. Let me just go back into the Windows authentication. Just one more thing that I would like to show you here. Let's go back into cameras and digital cameras. I'm going to go ahead and say edit page here, just to show you that this is all content search web parts that you're familiar with. I can go ahead and say edit page template. Again, very powerful that you can edit a single template and control the 33 URLs that you have in there, right? So you're just editing one template, and it's by data driven, and it's completely able to control the rest of the things. So when you do one of these, you load up into the SharePoint designer right here, right? This is again the 2013 feature. So you go back into one of these content search web parts that you have here. This is a bit tricky, but I'll go ahead and hover on the arrow here. If it'll let me. Okay, I think I can do this otherwise. I can do web part properties. Let's see if this loads it up. But basically what you will see is for this specific web part, what's the query associated with it, right? So you can go ahead and see the change query, and you will be able to see the exact query associated with it. You can change the query right here. For example, I said do not return the gift card in this particular case, right? And you can test the results in this particular case. Again, you can also see the display templates. So you can see the control display templates. We have a number of other display templates you can choose from. We also have item templates, so you can choose from a multiple other item templates that you can use. So both of these are supported. Something that you probably are very familiar with, but I'll just show you is for the item template, actually, I think I'll change the control template. Let's do something like slideshow, and it immediately changes the way the specific item looks itself, right? So now from a list view, it's gone into a slideshow mode. So again, just basic functionality of content search web parts that are being used here, and which is reusable in a site that you would like to create. I'm going to go ahead and cancel out of here. And so with this, I think we can go into the next. I'm just going to look at my sheet here to make sure that I demo everything I intend to. Okay, so let's. Okay, so the edit page templates. The next thing I will show you quickly is the product catalog site collection. Let's go into the product catalog site collection just to see how it looks. So this is what it looks like. You go into manage item hierarchy in Term Store for this particular site, right? The Contoso site that we saw earlier, the entire navigation hierarchy is here, right? So you can go into electronics, for example, and if you click on faceted navigations, you can see the set of refiners that were configured here. Again, very easily configurable using this UI. You can specify exactly the display template that you would like to use. So for example, for the price, I chose to use like a slider bar, but you can use something else for the other items. So all of this is possible. Again, you can have different set of refinements in cameras, for example. I have a whole different set of refinements for cameras, and similarly for computers, I have a different set of refiners, and all of this is possible. I'm going to go into the product catalog site collection. Let me just hit a back here to show you the list that was populated automatically when you did a publish from Dynamics itself. So when you did a publish, basically what happens is all the products that you require here are automatically created, and what you will see is the entire attribute list that's flattened out and available as a SharePoint list, including images, including the HTML description. If there was a rich spec, all of this data is available as part of the product catalog site collection. So this is the data behind the site. I'll quickly go through one customization. In the interest of time, I'm going to go right to the site. Okay, so we are currently in logged in. This is the Windows authentication site itself. The previous shopping cart you saw was pretty much showed the shopping cart items. What I have done is a customization here, which you will be able to see as a when I do a few view full cart contents. And essentially what this shows you is not just the shopping cart and its contents. It does show you the shopping cart and shows you the two products that it has with it, including a banner, of course, that says you can buy one more and get 25% off. That's actually also a very easily customizable change. You configure a price discount and we automatically show a banner. New banners can be added talking to the same pricing rules. So that's something that can be easily added as a promotion. The final part that I really want to show you here is the wish list. So what we did was we added the wish list into the shopping cart with the goal that when they see the wish list, they get more ideas they want to shop for, they add it to cart, and they can go on. So to add this wish list into the shopping cart itself, and basically wish list here is a reusable control, right? So the way you do that is I'm going to go into Notepad. Firstly, this code was all just loaded from a mapped drive, right? There's a web dev mapping you can do to the actual URL of the site, and that's the folder that you see right here. And you can map it here, and then you can open the files directly here, right? So I opened it in Notepad++, and basically what I needed to add was first the style sheet entry that you see right here. I'm adding the wishlist summary, right? So there are a set of wish lists that I can see on the shopping cart itself. And that's a summary CSS that you can add. And in addition to that, what I had to do was I also added the wish list control itself. So I'm going to go down here. And what I did was essentially added the wish list control with it. The wish list control consists of a JavaScript also that it refers to. So that's included below. Right, the wishlist control and the set of resource files is what I needed to add. And with that comes the entire wishlist functionality within the shopping cart itself. So the reusable control is basically plugged into the shopping cart now, and we can see the entire functionality of wishlist show up as soon as you put this few lines of code. A couple of things, the wishlist summary CSS, straightforward CSS that looks like everything else, and it is something that's part of the wishlist control. There is also the wishlist JavaScript, right, that actually controls the various operations of the wishlist itself. That's something that's also available as part of this. So now when I go back into the web page, we plug in this wishlist, and of course I can go ahead and click on that birthday wishlist, and I should be able to see what else I have in that birthday wish list. And with that, I can go ahead, select it, for example, and I can go ahead and add this to cart and go on with the operations itself. So that's a simple example of how these controls can be reused in different scenarios, different pages, and the like. With that, let me just go back into my presentations, and we'll wrap it up and open it up for questions. We did cover a kind of a breadth of things today. It's a bit of a disadvantage to have one session that does all of this, and I understand it's quite a bit, but I hope at least you can take away some of the key points of what the system is about. And we have multiple deep dives that are available online that will hopefully give you more information as you look at the system and as your interest level increases. So quickly, the key takeaways, it's a rich out-of-the-box e-commerce solution that is enabled through two mature products, right? There's Microsoft Dynamics, which is a very well used system, especially in the retail industry. And there's SharePoint 2013 server with its new capabilities of search-driven publishing and cross-site publishing and public sites support. One of the differentiations of this particular e-commerce system is it actually functions on search, right? Most e-commerce systems come with search. So search is an add-on to an e-commerce system. They also support a search for blue laptop or whatever it is. But in this particular case, the entire experience is driven out of search. So the gallery, the refinements, the navigation hierarchy that you were seeing, the filtering. So some of that robustness comes almost inherently in that you don't need very much code to enable that part of it. And this is very key capabilities that SharePoint 2013 sort of brings together. The third takeaway is the commerce runtime services. This is a very important aspect that sort of brings together the entire transaction, inventory, quantity availability, and all of that side of things, and which is a very important part of the e-commerce and the way you hook it up to the to how it's configured and the way you use that in the e-commerce site itself. And that comes through using the commerce runtime services. And lastly, I think it's about extensibility, right? I mean, we have one store, we have a couple of demo storefronts, we have a couple of code examples out there. But then I think really what it's about is every solution component, every tier is extensible. And that's something that we have, being in the retail field is something that we know all too well, right? I mean, basically, no two businesses want the exact same use of their e-commerce site. And that's something that we are very conscious about. We have implementations that have done very different kind of scenarios, and it's all available through the extensibility. And all of this code is available. In fact, I didn't show you, we have the entire SDK published, right? And it's all available for browsing, and you can open it up using Visual Studio Solutions. And of course, if you just want to browse them using Notepad or any of the other editors of your choice, that's something that you can also do. Finally, getting started here, there is an email right down there. There are a couple of documentations. The documentation that's out there is for the V1 version. We are continuously updating the documentation. Those links will still be active, and you will see more documentation as and when you need to. There is a partner and a network link there too, so that's something that definitely reach out to us or email us, and we can certainly get you into the partner forum as required. Related sessions, a lot of these have gone by, but like you see, like many topics that I just kind of showed you how we use, there are deeper dives available across many sessions. So I hope any questions you have on that, those particular technical areas, you can go back and view these various related sessions to get more information. Or I think anything to do with search-driven publishing is extremely useful. Adaptive experiences, deliver adaptive and personalized experiences for SharePoint 2013 sites is an extremely useful precursor to this particular session itself. With this, evaluations, please do submit it. It's very hard to cover so much information in the given 1 hour, but I hope you got what you were looking for. With this, I can open it up for questions. Please feel free to step up to the mic and ask me any questions you have. Oh, there's a mic on this side.
Good presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right at the level I was expecting and wanted to know more about it. But work with some commerce solutions in past.
Right.
So looking for a feel of the roadmap on this thing, particularly in past, Microsoft has a product called Commerce Server,
right.
2009 R2.
Right.
There was a lot of confidence behind it. Yep, it's not going anywhere, and one fine morning it was gone.
Right.
So what is that change of heart in there?
Right. So I think the big difference here, and I think I was talking to one gentleman some time back, is about Dynamics for Retail is a very mature product. It's not, and we have been seeing double-digit growth in the last few years, right? And I talked about Delta right at the beginning, right? And we're seeing growth in various different verticals. So it's really an established product in itself, right? And similarly, SharePoint, right? And as we are adopting to public sites, is a mature product in itself. And I think, and we have done a lot of analysis with Commerce Server, what happened, what were the features that didn't work, and the like. In fact, that's something that I have myself dug deeply into. And based on that, I think one of the big takeaways was the entire transaction model that was very weak. And that's where Dynamics comes in with a very rich background and takeaway that brings that together better than anything else.
Okay. So is there any roadmap for this product that you can share, a link or something? What are the new features?
Unfortunately, we don't publish roadmaps externally so easily.
Okay.
But this is version 2. This is certainly version 2. And Dynamics for Retail, I think the website I included, we will continuously update it. E-commerce and social is a very key pillar to our story, right? And our customer base is just continuously growing in terms of the people we have, and the demands are certainly increasing. This is version 2, by the way, of what we have.
Okay. If no one is behind me waiting, I can take the second question and the third one too. So is there any support for the virtual catalog or the white label sites?
Can you tell me what virtual catalog, what do you mean exactly?
Virtual catalog means a group of products or special discounts given to...
A catalog.
Hmm?
A discount for a specific catalog.
That is correct.
Yes,
and also the
that.
Extension to the not just the items you own, but the things that you connect to, like the third-party providers in there. Product providers.
So let me tell you what exactly we support, and maybe you can see what subset of that covers your needs. We support a notion called store catalogs, which is I'm shopping online, but I would like to see what exactly is available in the Las Vegas store. Right? That's something that I can see. That's a catalog from Las Vegas store that's published into my online store, and
okay.
I can view that in the price that it's viewed at that particular catalog. We can do another variation of that, which is actually we have a summer catalog, for example,
mm-hmm.
right, that we are publishing out, which carries a separate promotion just for that catalog, a subset of products or a completely new set of products, and we can bring it in.
Okay.
From a third party, we can certainly import this catalog into Dynamics and publish it into the online
okay.
store. So these are sort of the three,
I
and maybe it
covers
what you have.
And probably the last one I have, you showed two types of logons. One,
yes.
the form-based FBA, and the other one was
Facebook.
The Facebook.
Right.
So any work on the federation side of it?
Right. So the way we have done the Facebook integration is to showcase that we can integrate with any third-party provider. I mean, it's not so much that that's the only third-party provider, but it's just to showcase that you can do it. And again, it's code that's available to that leverages the claims authentication in SharePoint and all of that, right, goodness?
Okay.
And it can be leveraged to you connect to another third-party provider.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, great presentation. I work in a B2B
right.
business, and we have about 1,000 different finished goods equipment and about 10,000 parts, accessories, and supplies that go with it.
Okay.
When we're interested in going forward with some kind of cross-sell and upsell, okay, now, that you showed earlier.
Right.
Is there an algorithm that's built in that will look at our past orders and kind of set an initial cross-sell upsell? And then the other thing is, over time, does it get smart as we introduce
yes.
new products?
Yes. So, excellent question. Cross-sell, upsell, how does it vary with time, right? So the initial data can be bootstrapped. It's a table, it's available for bootstrapping. In fact, a lot of what you see in the demo is bootstrapping because we don't have enough transaction history. But as and when the transaction history comes across channels, what we have is a job that runs on a frequent basis, right? And it learns from this transaction history and evolves the data that shows up there. And that's absolutely the goal of the customer who bought and frequently bought together. And the difference being frequently bought together looks at a single transaction, right? While they have to be bought together in a single transaction.
Right.
And customer also bought is across customers and across transactions.
When you say bootstrapped, I mean, what do you mean by that exactly?
The bootstrap will have to be editorial content that you have, previous orders before you came to this particular site. You can do something like that. Of course, if you didn't do anything, it would grow with time anyway based on transactions. That's
right.
A possibility too.
Okay.
But I thought you sort of were alluding to bootstrapping.
All right, thanks.
Can it tie off to different gateways like PayPal? Can it also handle digital services or digital products?
Right. The first part is about PayPal, right?
Mm-hmm.
PayPal within US and Canada, we support out of the box. The integration is supported, and along with multiple other providers, I may not name them all right, but there's First Data and some others that we support for US and Canada out of the box. For digital services, we do not special case digital services today. It's something that can easily be done using some of the Microsoft products, but it's just something that we have not done out of the box yet.
Okay, for the analytics, for example, when a user's out there working on a product, what's the analytics on the back end? So if they pick a product, they drop a product, how do I identify which products they commonly dropped? Because that's telling me that it's priced wrong. How do I parse through the system for the analytics of it?
So they placed an order. They have an order history, right?
So
behind it.
For Magna Carta, other e-commerce solutions that I have out there, because I'm a PHP developer,
mm-hmm.
I know that I can look at which products that they put in their shopping cart that stays
right.
in their shopping carts, or they normally pick
yes.
up or drop and all that stuff.
Right.
Because that's
right.
what I kind of
yes.
take back to the business owner.
Yes. Today what we do is, in terms of an analytics of the shopping cart, for example, if we were to take that, all the data is captured. We don't have out-of-the-box analytics today built on it, but the data is available for analyzing. And one of our very strong analytics that we have on transaction history and the like is within Dynamics, and it uses the BI capabilities, the Power BI capabilities itself. Is we actually have a retail cube. We have it's an extremely well designed analytics system. The shopping cart specifically data exists, but we've not integrated it with the cube yet. But it's something that can be done.
Okay.
What would it take to migrate a customer on Commerce Server 2009 R2
mm-hmm.
to this platform?
Right. So I did go a little bit into the customization itself. One of the ways to look at this is the style sheets and the UI markup itself can be certainly brought together very easily. Right. That's one aspect of it. The other part is the sort of the middle tier layer, so to speak. And some of that, the data needs to be configured within Dynamics. That has to be done, right? I mean, we have to somehow get the data in. And once the data is in, the entire middle tier here that I just showed you lights up automatically. So there is no other work that needs to be done. So there's data configuration, and there's UI that you can reuse in terms of style sheets, markup, and the like from Commerce Server. So these are the two fundamental big pieces, I think. And then there's shipping, payment that you might choose to do, depending on your specific instance.
Is there any data mapping available between what was 2009 on the server and
implementation? We don't today have a data mapping layer that's available as per se, but I don't expect this to be that hard in terms of the entities, right? I mean, they're all very fundamental entities used in retail, so it's certainly doable, but we don't have an out-of-the-box recommendation on the mapping. Right. Correct. So I think this is an upsell for the Commerce Server platform, and that's how we have message this going outside, right? I mean, this is the upsell capability. But the amount of work, we haven't done a data migration package. That's something that hasn't been done. So that's where this work will have to be manually done, one-off for that particular server, the commerce server instance. Yeah. Okay, thank you. I think looks like I am almost out of time. Thanks so much for staying late and listening to the session.